Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Smart Biz Network. My guest today is my friend Mac McLaughlin, who is the founder of Go Sell Something. And today Mac and I are going to have a discussion on identifying and targeting your audience. Hi, Mac. How are you?
Good morning, Cynthia. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Now, you know, people, salespeople, they have all kinds of products, as you do. So the first thing a salesperson has to do is identifying who they would want to sell to. So how do you identify your audience?
Well, it's a good question, and it's, you know, especially when you're trying to figure out how to market to your customers, you got to figure out who is my ideal customer. And so some of the things that we will take a look at when we sit down with one of our products or one of our clients' products or services is what you really have to understand is who the benefit is. I mean, what the benefits are, and then you can apply that to who is going to benefit the most. As an example, if you're a restaurant, and you serve, and you're a steak restaurant, well, you're probably not, your target audience probably is not going to be people who are vegetarians. So you really have to decide, you know, what are the core benefits and the core aspects of my product or service, who's going to benefit the most, who can afford my product or service, and then you can identify, start to get a better understanding and a clearer identity for your product.
Now, a lot of times when you come across a client who has a product that they want to sell, are they confused, or have you ever come across somebody who you're kind of thinking, well, who would be the best audience for this? Has that ever happened to you?
You know, not really. Usually, especially for our clients come to us with a product in hand, and they know who they want to reach out to. And in other companies that, you know, we've worked with, especially, you know, we do a lot of B2B. So identifying who your target audience is shouldn't be very difficult, because your product or service has a purpose, and that purpose solves a problem. And, you know, you should know or be able to identify who has that problem, or you may not want to be in business, right?
Mm-hmm.
The biggest,
right.
To me, I think the biggest challenge isn't so much as identifying the target audience. I think the biggest challenge comes from how to actually target that audience and how to get your message to that audience. And when you're creating your message to move that audience, because there's a big difference depending on your product or service. I mean, there, you know, if you're marketing to millennials, or if you're marketing to maybe baby boomers, there's two very big different messages that need to be, you know, crafted in order to properly market to those people.
Right. Let's take anything, whatever you think would be interesting, and how would you market it to millennials versus how would you market it to baby boomers? Give us an example.
Well, I'll give you two very clear examples of, you know, of how to market to them. One is, if you're going to be marketing to millennials, you want to be online. You want to be on social. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I believe it's somewhere in the ballpark of 90% of your millennials are online, whereas I think it's only 35% of those, say, 65 and older. So if you have a product or service that you want to get out to millennials, then I'm going to say social media, and particularly Instagram and Snapchat, is going to be your go-to source. That's going to be your medium. If you're marketing to baby boomers, then you probably want to, you know, 65 and above, where only 35% or so of them are actually online on a regular basis, then you're going to want to go with maybe more traditional television, print, radio, and even telemarketing.
But the targeting baby boomers, if you have a product and you want to target baby boomers, it's more costly for you to do it to baby boomers than it is to younger people. Would that be a correct statement?
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. It is. I mean, those traditional forms of advertising are very expensive. Almost 100% of what GSS does for its customers is digital, is online. And we love it. I couldn't imagine having to go back to using print or radio for marketing, my marketing efforts. Because, I mean, you know, Facebook is so, just let's look at Facebook alone. Their advertising options, when you look to target your audience, I mean, you can get down to, and we make a joke out of it, but you can get down to targeting, you know, people who only eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on Tuesdays, you know, and that sounds a little extreme, but that's how granular you can get when you're talking about digital marketing, because it's amazing, Cynthia, how much data is collected and that we don't even really realize that's being collected on us. And then it's turned around and us as marketers are able to analyze that data and use those metrics to really hone in on exactly who we want to talk to.
Mm-hmm. What if you want to sell a product that would be good for a person of any age, whether it's a 20-year-old, a 60-year-old, an 80-year-old? What's the best way? Would you use both markets for that, or how would you do that?
Well, you're not going to have, you know, great success marketing to an 80-year-old on Facebook, I don't think, because you're going to have such a limited number there. So if you truly have a product that spans all age demographics, I mean, you're going to have a multi-channel approach that spreads across all the mediums that those in particular age groups, you know, are present in. Because, I mean, you can't expect to advertise to an 80-year-old on Facebook who isn't there. And you can't expect to advertise to a 22-year-old in a paper, in a print magazine, because they're not there. And so you have to, the way you think in marketing, and you have to understand what channels you need. And then from there, you know, the easiest thing to do is craft a message, different message for each channel. I always tell people it's a lot easier online than it is in print or media and other forms of traditional media, because it's so expensive. But you want to test your message, and that's what I love about online, because you can create an ad and run 5 or 6 different variations of it and only spend a few $100 and test it.
Now, you mentioned Snapchat, and you mentioned another platform. What was the other platform?
Snapchat and Instagram.
Okay. Is that replacing Facebook?
Well, Facebook owns Instagram.
Oh, okay.
So, Instagram, okay. Are you familiar? Are you on Instagram, Cynthia?
No, I'm just on Facebook.
So Instagram is basically the competitor to Snapchat. They launched one of Snapchat's. Obviously, their deal is, you know, live feed video. And Instagram was originally, like its name says, it was all about photos. Well, now Instagram has a live chat. Instagram, in my opinion, is one of the most powerful marketing platforms out there today. And now that, and with Facebook owning it, you get all of Facebook targeting, you know, in Instagram. And it's just a phenomenal tool. If you're looking to get into the younger generation, say 35 and younger, Instagram is where it's at. And, you know, if you're a business owner who's thinking about 10 years down the road, well, then those millennials are your target market, because 10 years from now, they're going to, you know, be stable and they're going to have good jobs and they're going to be the next big set of buyers. And you want them to know who you are now to build that brand loyalty and that brand recognition.
So Instagram, give us an overview of it. People do videos and put it on there. Is that correct?
Well, so Instagram, you download the Instagram app, and you can take pictures, and you can also do short video clips. I think it's like 38 seconds or something like that is the max. Don't quote me on that, but it's somewhere in that ballpark. Excuse me. And now they've introduced live feeds as well, so you can click a button and go live right there on your Instagram. And that's a phenomenal tool. And so when you're an advertiser, that gives you so many ways to be creative. You could do, you know, static image advertisements. You can do video advertisements. And nothing's better than video advertisements. I love it. Everyone loves it. You know, if you're not doing video, they'll you know, everyone tells you if you're not doing video, you're missing the boat. And it's the truth because people want to see video. And they want to see cool, creative video, not just somebody standing on a stage somewhere and or in front of some green screen talking about their product. You know, you want to get creative and have fun. I love, you know, I even love to introduce like guerrilla marketing into it and do crazy things. That's where you capture attention.
Okay, so for instance, with this call right now, if I created an Instagram account and I did a video of it and I said, I want you to listen and see my friend Mac, who's talking about identifying your audience, people would see that and they would be more likely to click on this and find out than if it was just print.
Well, sure, absolutely. Video is always going to perform better than print. You're able to get a message across, you know, faster and clear. And like I said, you want to get creative with your video. I don't recommend ever just, you know, sitting behind a desk or, you know, and just doing a video, you know, a talking head video, so to speak. You know, you want to get creative and do something kind of fun and interesting. I mean, that's the biggest thing. I think you can do the research. I think it's something like 80% of most ads fail to really convert anything that's worth talking about. And I think it's because, you know, these feeds, and it's just like TV, everything's bombarded with so much content. You have to really stand out from the crowd to catch an eye, to get someone to stop scrolling through that feed, right? And to take a time to look at what you're doing. So you really need to go outside of the box and get creative. And you know, I think you need to be a little bold. I mean, today, you know, I know everything is very politically incorrect and everything, but to be a little bold and maybe have some fun with something once in a while, I think that draws people in. Humor, you can't go wrong with humor, I don't think.
Right. Okay. So,
let me clarify that. Tasteful humor. Tasteful
okay.
humor.
Oh, of course. Out of all of the, with the clients that you have, how many of them do videos on Instagram? Do you instruct them to do that?
Well, as you know, at GSS, we handle it for the customer. So, you know, we don't do DIY here. We don't do it yourself. At GSS, we handle the entire process for the customer. So our clients don't have to worry about it. They know their digital is 100% managed for them. And all of them do Instagram. Every one of our clients, if they don't have Instagram or they become a client, the first thing we do is set up their Instagram account. And get that moving. And, you know, we grow their audience to, you know, tens of thousands of followers, and we push out as much video and crazy cool content as we can.
So in the city of Albany right now, there's going to be we just launched it, a low power FM station. So would you suggest that we create an Instagram account and show videos about the people that are on board to do radio shows to see videos of what we're doing?
Absolutely. You should have Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, definitely have a blog. You should every one of my clients, I tell them you need to have a YouTube channel. Those big five, you should have those. When you get started, I wouldn't recommend doing any more than between three and five. Definitely Facebook, definitely Instagram. Twitter is up for debate. I'm not actually always the biggest fan of Twitter, depending on what your goals are. But if you're going to have the big five, you should include Twitter. But you should stop there and then focus on growing those mediums and growing those audiences. But I definitely, if you don't have an Instagram, I think you're missing a huge portion of the population that's on it every day.
Now, you said that Instagram is a offshoot of Facebook, right?
Well, it's not an offshoot. Facebook purchased Instagram. They bought it. Because
okay,
it gave them the competition to Snapchat.
So if I created an Instagram account, then all of my Facebook friends would be on Instagram?
They wouldn't be automatically on Instagram. The nice thing is
okay.
You can tie your Instagram account to your Facebook. and then you can send a message to all of your Facebook friends that says, hey, I am now on Instagram, you know, follow me on Instagram.
Oh, okay, okay. And people do the videos themselves and put it on, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much all done from the mobile device, which, you know, today the mobile device can be as good as some commercial cameras these days.
Right, right. Now, this is really amazing, and, you know, I learned by doing different shows, and how long has Instagram been around?
Oh, I don't, you know, I'm not sure. I should have that information handy, but I don't. But it's been a while. You know, the great thing about it is I can find it for us right now.
Okay.
But, I mean, you know, the one of the greatest things I love about Instagram is it's fast. It's not full of, you know, when you get on Facebook, it's a lot of text. It's a lot of content. Whereas Instagram is pretty much either going to be photos or videos. So Instagram
okay.
was formed in 2010.
Okay. So it's like 7 years old then. Wow. And do you know
it's been around a while.
So do you know how many users are on Instagram?
They have quite a few. I think it's around 600 million.
Okay. Wow. So is Instagram replacing, like, regular political campaigns? In other words, a candidate would put a 30 or 60 second commercial on regular TV, and Instagram is replacing it. Or any business person who would normally before rely on TV, are they going to Instagram now?
Well, if and I say this totally respectfully, if they're smart, they're moving that way. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Wow. This is.
I mean, the audience isn't sitting in front of TV anymore. I mean, I have two young kids, and both of my kids, you know, if they want to watch something, it's done on their tablet. If they want to look at something, it's done on their, you know, on their mobile devices. You know,
uh-huh.
on their laptops. I mean, we have TVs in the house that don't even get turned on anymore.
Wow. So, you know, this is a lot to digest in a couple of minutes. Talking to somebody who is of a younger generation than myself, it's like you grew up with this stuff, and we're learning. A baby boomer is learning and watching, whereas it's coming second nature to you. So if a baby boomer client or a client who's a baby boomer comes to you and you're giving them all this advice, are they overwhelmed?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Okay, if somebody who's in the 50s and 60 age group, if they're coming to you to, for them to be your client, and you're telling them all about Instagram and Facebook and how to market online, do they get overwhelmed?
My clients don't have to, because my clients come to me and they hire me and say, your agency runs with this. Within our agency in total, you know, we now have almost 200 people in our agency that can help our customers. We've been hiring like crazy. So our clients don't have to necessarily understand what we're doing. They just understand that the results that come from it. They, you know, our customers turn that over to us, and we manage it for them. We create the ads for them. We create the marketing pieces for them. We go out and do the video for them. And we do all that for all of our customers. As you well know, we do it for a flat fee on a monthly basis, and we take care of everything so they don't have to.
Right. And all of it is
now,
done on social media?
About 80% of what we do is digital. About 80% of what we do is digital. We do have some customers We do have some customers that, you know, obviously we do some more traditional like telemarketing for and stuff, and we help with a lot of different aspects.
Now, you and I right now, we're doing a podcast. How prevalent are podcasts now in identifying and targeting your audience?
Well, podcasts are great. I mean, I know a lot of people who use podcasts. I mean, if you have something that, you know, to say about a topic and you can be consistent, like with anything, I think the biggest problem, and that I'll put a caveat on that to all digital, is being consistent. You know, if you're going to have a podcast, then that podcast should be on a consistent schedule. Because if you do a show or a podcast or a blog talk or, you know, even a blog or a monthly newsletter, if that doesn't come out at the same time every week, every day, every month, whatever your schedule that you set is, it turns audiences off. That's the one thing about it, is you have to really, you have to really keep a consistency in your messaging.
Wow. So for everybody out there who's listening to this, what advice would you give them on how to identify and target your audience?
My biggest piece of advice would be to make sure that you truly understand at the core of your product what the benefits are, and then you can decide who that benefits the most, then hone in on that target audience.
Okay. And a target audience could be anybody in the world. How would you do that?
Well, I can get to 2.5 of the 8 billion on Facebook.
Okay. Wow.
You know, you can get to 600 million people across the globe on Instagram. You can get to billions of people through YouTube. I mean, you can get through billions of people through, you know, multiple different Google channels and Bing channels, and so, you know, if you're trying to get, you know, like I said, unless you're, you know, and even some of the older markets do as well, but I mean, most of your purchasers and your decision makers today can be found online somewhere.
Like I said a couple of minutes ago, there's a new FM station that was just launched the other day in the city of Albany. At some point, do you think traditional radio will be outdated?
Yeah, I think it's already there.
Really? And what's taken its place?
You have lots of radio online, you know, Slacker, Pandora, and, you know, most people like those a lot better. I mean, you know, I'm a subscription-based music enjoyer, so I don't do commercials. I mean, everything I do, I have a subscription to, like, Rhapsody, so I can on-demand listen to any song I want at any time. You know, on-demand services is where it is, and people don't want to, you know, people want to be able to choose the messaging that they listen to, and you just can't do that with traditional radio. I mean, I get into my car, when I get into my SUV, the first thing I do, my phone connects to the little system, and I play my own music. I don't listen to the radio. I never listen to the radio. Stop listening to the television altogether.
And how do you get your news as to what's going on in the world?
Well, I mean, you know, I'll check. I have a few news stations that I like, and I can always hop online and take a look at the major news channels. But, you know, I try to avoid the news as much as possible.
So, Mac, in the closing moments of this interview, tell our listening audience a little about yourself and your organization, Go Sell Something.
Well, I first and foremost, thank you for having me again, Cynthia. You know, I consider you a good friend, and I love this time that we get to spend together. I hope that we can bring value to at least a few people through the show and help somebody have a better business. Go Sell Something is a digital agency. It's a sales-driven agency. Our name says it all, Go Sell Something. what we do mostly for our customers, to be honest with you, these days, like I said, is we pretty much manage 100% of our customers' digital marketing strategy. We manage everything from creation to distribution to execution. So that's what we do. I love doing it. I love being creative. The whole team, we get to, I mean, we have probably the best job in the world. We get to take someone else's product and service and help them grow their business. And that's a really great feeling when your customers call you and say, Mac, we had a 35% increase in sales this month based on your work. That's the best thing in the world. So we really get to enjoy what we do over here. If anyone wants to take a look at us, they can just go to GoSellSomething.com and see about everything we do and get in touch with us.
Terrific. So, Mac, we'll talk again at your convenience. So you've been listening to Mac McLaughlin, founder of Go Sell Something. And if you like this show, listen to all the other shows we do. Thanks, Mac. You have a great day, and thank you,
Cynthia.
Everybody, for listening. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.